Welcome to the Wayfarers BB Ninja podcast. This has been a podcast that has been requested by lots of people. They want us to talk about BB Ninja. And being a new viewer of BB Ninja, I've decided to grant the listeners their wishes. And I'm joined by once again Edmond Uris to discuss BB Ninja. Edmond, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm great. I'm all right.
Have you been enjoying the season? Because me, basically, I think some people might know, some people might not know. This is my first time watching BB Ninja. I mostly watch BB US, BB UK, BB Canada. So this is the first time actually as a Nigerian watching BB Ninja and seeing a very huge stark difference between what I know and what happens in the Ninja scene. So, and personally, I've been enjoying BB Ninja so far. I don't know about you. Have you seen the season since you've been watching it?
Yeah, before that, I have to add that I see your updates on WhatsApp, your posts about the Big Brother Canada, Big Brother America, Big Brother UK. And I'm always surprised, like, how do you have so much time? And where do you watch them from? You get, they're always, yeah. It's always so fascinating when I see your posts and everything. But to know that you've never actually watched Big Brother Nigeria, it's actually incredible. But then, back to the main thing, Sha. I think this Big Brother Nigeria, you asked me how it was, yes? It started slowly. It has been very, initially it was very slow. Yeah. Not much drama, not much things to talk about. I think it has to do a lot with the people, the housemates just
trying to,
is it getting to know each other now? You get, so it was very slow, nothing majorly happening, you get, yeah. So, but I think in recent week, this past week is it has really heated up and it's getting more interesting. And but so far so good. It's not been so bad.
Yeah.
It's not the best I've seen though, because I've seen other previous years where it's been much better.
Yeah.
I think they set the year end if you want with them Bisola set were very very entertaining. Then yeah. I think even
last year, Miracle, Toby,
they were again. So let's just hope they'll get better. I think they still have two months to stay in the house. So.
Yeah. One thing I really noticed about one of the differences in your social this Ninja season is the fans voting and all, and fans protecting their bases. And I've seen these housemates are trying to play up their character to get votes and all those things. So some people are not, for me, I think some people are obviously being fake. Some people are actually being real. So some things are kind of strange to me, but I can understand where it's coming from. So I've been noticing a lot of differences between the Nigerian version and the US, UK, Canada version. One major thing is that over there, the housemate and viewers don't get to decide who goes on. Viewers don't get to decide who stays in the house. It's the house guests that vote each other out of the game. The form alliances, they try to backstab each other. So that's one major key difference. We, the viewers, do not decide what happens between anybody in the house. So that's one major difference. And another major difference is that over there, the HOH, is the one that pulls people up for eviction. The HOH pulls two people up for eviction, not everybody nominating. That's even one of the key powers of being a HOH. That's one of the two key powers. Number one, you are safe for the week. Number two, you get to decide two people who will be up for eviction. But in Nigeria's version, I think everybody nominates people and the viewers get to decide. And number three, another key difference I've noticed in this version, in Nigeria's version, is that you have to use the veto power, which I think I made a rant about that when Sheyi got striked and got banned from playing veto games because he refused to not use his veto power. Over there, veto power is voluntary. If you want to use it, you use it. If you don't want to use it, you keep it to yourself. You decide not to use it. So these major differences are just creeping. And obviously, some people are playing a character and trying to play a character for the viewers to love them. And so they can get votes, all those kind of things. Yeah.
I think with what you said is nice. I think I can't really imagine what that would feel like. But
yeah,
how would the organizers get their money if people are not voting?
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. See, and I think they make a lot of money. That's what it does. That's what I think most people don't understand in BB Nigeria. They make a lot of money. Every Pepsi has to pay a lot for them to have a segment. You know that lyrics verse they did. every single person that is advertising, that is getting minutes, Delta Soap, Montreats, any Indomie, they are paying.
So what you are saying basically is that without our votes, they are still going to get lots of money.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Every single thing that happens, every single branded item inside their house, it's an advert, and they paid for those things to be shown. Pepsi cannot just, they can't just, I think the whole of Africa is watching BB Nigeria, not just Nigerians alone. And they won't just allow Pepsi to put their things in front of Africa for zero naira. So, without our money, they're already loaded. Best Ninja is paying. I think Best Ninja will be paying a huge sum to the producers of BB Ninja. So without voting money, they're already locked and loaded. They have and all the adverts that's, I think they have counted up to 10 different adverts throughout this season. So they are making, and to, okay, let me just give you an inside info. To place an advert, a 30-second advert, to place a 30-second advert on Super Sports, that's Super Sport that plays in football, probably Premier League football, to place a 30-second advert on Super Sport is like 500 million. To place a 30-second advert throughout the season, throughout the football season, I can tell you my source. I was outside of the podcast, but I can't reveal my source to you in public. So,
okay, but your source is reliable.
Very reliable. And that's Super Sport, that's football. Talk less of BB Ninja. To place an advert there, I think should be close to that same amount, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to be less because it's as popular as football. You get. True. Yeah, so I feel they're making a lot of, so I don't know why. Anyways, that's a Ninja's version, and I'm not going to hate them for it. I think I'm loving the season as it is now. But there are just some things there, and it's still going on. It's not acceptable anyways, but in Nigeria it's acceptable because they want to cause drama. The stealing of coins and all those things, it's not acceptable.
I think that's only because, imagine it not being acceptable, because basically that's like the only controversy drama that has happened. You get, so imagine it without the stealing of coins this season. I feel they've been too conservative. I feel they've been too reserved. They've been too, it's a show that people watch it to get entertained. So yeah. I just feel, and that was what Ibuka said last week when they evicted
him.
He said, so I felt maybe that was what has made this past week to be interesting, because previously they've been too reserved, too calm, too quiet. And only few of them have come out to show themselves and come out to like, see, I don't really care what anybody thinks. But I hope it gets better.
Yeah, but one thing I'm loving about this season is some of the friendships, some of the coupling and all those things, they are also good. But it also takes my mind off watching the international version of Big Brother, where there's like racism and all those kind of things. Yeah, it's kind of fun, and I'm loving some of the characters so far. The first week, Jeff was the HOH, and I think he did a decent job at being the HOH, and because in week two, nobody nominated him for eviction. It was week three, and this present week, that his name started coming up. But I think he did a decent job at being the HOH.
Yeah, I think he did. So he was elected now. He was voted.
So I
felt he did a good job. And I think in their diary sessions, all of them praised him that he was doing well. There were a couple of issues with the old Tasha. There was a point where they had to pick a team, and he called out all boys. Why will he call out? I think that was the only issue he had, and I think he apologized rightfully and he sorted it out.
Yeah. So what did you think of the eviction process? Because this was another new thing to me, where they use first time Nigerians are not we are not allowed to vote, and they evicted somebody. Because I saw
a lot of us thought it was not fair. A lot of us thought it was too early, because it was just 1 week in. Because normally the process is 2 weeks after. At least you get to stay for 2 weeks. Even if you don't win, you get to experience it and show yourself a little bit for 2 weeks. But 1 week, I still feel it was unfair. I feel it was too quick. I mean, you get to prepare and go through the whole process of qualifying for it, the whole eviction, the whole process basically, and then you get to stay just 1 week. I felt it was rushed. I felt it was unfair. And a lot of people watched Big Brother Nigeria to thought it was like that. But I think everybody has moved on. They used those with the lowest coins and they played that game. And I won't thought it was only going to be one person, but two people.
It was a bit harsh. Yeah, but now let me shock you, and let me shock some people who do not know about Big Brother. You know, in other Big Brother versions, especially in Big Brother United States, people get evicted on the first night of entering the house. One person actually, it's that bad, and this is why I thought they were going to do the same thing in Ninja season. And why I thought so was because when they entered the house, there were 21 people. And there were 20 beds. So I was shocked to see there 21 people, 20 beds. I was thinking they might evict someone that same night. But obviously they did not. And they evicted two people after the first week. I didn't see it as harsh.
Are you serious? So they could evict somebody that first night?
The first night.
On what criteria?
this is exactly what they do. On the first night, I think this happened in BB19, and it happened, that was the US version, and it happened this present season that's ongoing now. On the first night, they play a game, something like an HOH game or something like that. Someone with HOH nominates two people for eviction, and they play veto power. If the two people nominated do not win the veto power game, that same night, the housemates now vote out. They've not even been able to socialize with these guys. They just vote one person out of first impression, first night, and you're out of the game.
That was one key thing.
So I didn't see it as harsh that they got evicted, two people got evicted first, because that's what I'm used to, worse situations. But I was shocked with the method that they used to evict them, and I was hoping, like you, I was also hoping it to be one person. I kind of miss Issy Lomo and her swagger and her drama, and I kind of miss Evala. So Evala had a very cute face and she was lively sometimes in the house, but Issy Lomo was more lively and she was everywhere in the house. So I kind of miss Issy Lomo's character as a whole, but I think the game has gone forward even without her, and they've all moved on. All the housemates have moved on.
Of course, they'll move on. That's all. Life is about moving, and you have to move on.
So we got two other people evicted on the second week. That was Nelson was the HOH. I think Nelson was the HOH. Yes, Nelson was the HOH. Yes. Man. I think that's his HOH.
Fraud was the veto power.
Yeah, fraud was
veto. And Fraud put up Mercy.
Yeah.
He saved himself, obviously. And this is, and very quickly, this is something that I don't really understand. They are playing a game, but when they go into the room to nominate, all of them nominate the person with the veto power because they feel he has the veto power, so he's going to save himself. Why nominate somebody that has veto power when you know he is almost going to save him? I feel it's a waste of nomination.
Yeah,
Why are they being sentimental?
It's a waste of nomination, and the fact is that they are trying to now put they are trying to put pressure on the person with the veto power to make the to be the bad guy in that situation.
Exactly, because it's tough because for me, I don't know, maybe. Everybody's different, but for me, if I'm there, I'm not going to nominate the person with the veto power because I know it's useless. So I don't waste my nomination, but different tactics, sure.
We saw Kimopra and Ella evicted, and before Ella left, there was this drama between Ella, Mercy, and Ike. And Ike, Ella liked Ike, and Ike was feeling on top of the world that two women were basically fighting for him. And then Kimopra too was around the discussion. She was also just there. Kimopra was just there. She was going along with the house. She had caused a drama once or twice, or she had disagreement with people. But I think because of the people that she was up against in terms of Tacha, in terms of Mercy, then I didn't see how she was going to get saved, in my opinion.
Sadi too. I think Sadi was up that week.
Exactly. So I did not see how she was.
But then again, two people too. That second week was a little bit too much too. You get, because everybody, I think a lot of people were not expecting her to go. She was a smart person. She was very competitive because most of the games she was always coming top two, top three. You get. But you know one thing about her that I did not like that she describes herself as being manipulative. I don't feel it's a good word to use to describe yourself. You don't go out. People don't like. Do you understand what I'm saying? People don't like people that are manipulative. Yeah. That's the truth. And when we were watching her, you see that she was always once she sees someone has power, she yeah. don't gumbody to the person.
Exactly.
Once you don't lose your power, she don't leave you. Yes, it's smart, it's calculative, we understand.
Yeah.
But to now come out, because if you watch the advert where she was describing herself, she was like,
yeah.
apart from being very pretty, I'm also very manipulative. Don't do that, you get. So my first impression of her wasn't so good, but she's pretty and she was interesting in a way. But it was sad that she had to leave, because four people that second week was quite harsh.
Yeah.
And then again, yeah. another person that I did not like initially was Omoshola.
Oh, I love Omoshola. Yeah.
When initially I didn't
okay.
like
yeah.
coming in, oh, because he's a worried person and I'm a worried person. So when I said, I'm like, okay, who is this guy? And then they asked him to do, after he finished describing, it wasn't like he's a talkative. How do you describe yourself openly as a talkative? So my first impression was like, who is this one? You don't do that. But he has really impressed me in the house. Yeah. He has really impressed me in the house.
I think one reason why they are rushing to get people evicted so fast is because they are planning for 99 days and they have 21 people. And looking at the calendar, BBUS also plays for 99 days but they have a fewer number of people. They have 16 people and they evict one person every week. You know, unlike Nigeria, that they're evicting two people, they evict one person every week. So it kind of follows a trend. But having 21 people, it's not possible to have 21 people and evict one person every single week. Yeah, the timeline is never going to fit in. So that's why they have to like rush, evict two people the first week, evict two the second week.
Because there are some weeks where they are not going to evict anybody at all.
Yeah, exactly. So
some weeks where they will do fake evictions and all that.
Exactly. So I think they were trying to rush to kind of reduce the numbers as fast as possible. I think they had a good number of people that were interested and they didn't want to cut people out, like cut. So they just put everybody together and decide to hasten up the eviction process. So that was what happened in week two. I think, except from the Ella drama, Nelson's HOH was a disaster, because I don't think it was. I think other people were even the HOH on his behalf, because sometimes you see Omoshola get up and get angry that nobody is listening to Nelson or nobody is following his word or sometimes Sadiq.
That was the week they were supposed to present a drama. They were supposed to present a drama behaving like animals, that they lost their wager that week. It was a
disaster.
It was terrible. I was so pissed off. The drama was poor and they lost their wager, and then I think Big Brother now tried to redeem it for them 50% and told them to contribute coins. Yeah.
Then we had Esther. Esther's week was okay. She was the first lady to be HOH this season, and on the third week, I wasn't really watching the show that much because I was kind of busy, but I was trying to follow up and I was seeing lots of things that she was being, power had entered her head and some things like that. But I felt she did a decent job of being the HOH. I think that was when really Esther started, people started seeing Esther, because second week, I didn't really see Esther that much. I think they were bigger characters, but once she became the HOH, started coming out, and this was when Fraud came out to Esther and told her I liked her, and Esther called him, broke his heart, and Fraud started crying, and Nelson, she's caught up in this drama of Nelson and Fraud, and what I think in this situation, I will allow you to say what you think in this situation. I feel, for me, personally, I might be wrong, personally, I feel Fraud is a more genuine guy in this situation in terms of his feelings. I'm not sure about Nelson, and I think it's a classic situation of when a female doesn't know who the right person is for her, and I think two of them are now at loggerheads with each other, both Fraud and Esther. In as much as Fraud likes Esther and would love to couple with her, I feel both he can't stand her at the moment and she can't stand him at the moment. And at least silently, they might not be doing it publicly, but silently, because this week now Esther said if she had the power, she would send Fraud home immediately. Fraud said the same thing, that if he had the same power, he would send Esther out of the game. So
first of all, I was disappointed with Fraud. I cried when Esther told him she didn't like him the way he wanted. It became a national joke. It was on Twitter. It was on everywhere. It's a meme right now, Seth.
Yeah.
There are memes of him crying. Look how man cannot do it again. And I don't understand. Why are you crying? This is just the third week. What are you expecting? Or maybe that's his strategy, because he seems to cry a lot. I think he has cried three, four times.
He has cried a lot of times, yes.
He has cried a lot of times. But to cry because a girl told you, and I think Ebuka played it on the screen.
Which was not nice, in my opinion.
Which was not nice at all, because the thing kind of just killed his morale, made him a little bit conservative and a little bit quiet. Subsequent week, I think he's now trying to overcome it and all. But I don't know. I can't say which of them is more genuine for Esther, because I'm not the one feeling what she's feeling. I'm not there with the house with them. But at the end of the day, she's not a baby now, Tiga. If she says that, because she seems right now to like Nelson more.
Yeah.
So if she says she wants to be with Nelson now, so let them be, man. Let Fro just take his L and move on. Take it like a man and move on.
Let's talk about someone who has a very huge fan base this season. This is one of my gripes, one of my biggest problems with Ninja. He brought in Tatcha, and she deserves to be there. She honestly deserves to be there. And she has played a decent game. She has made people angry. She's playing the CC character of being, how will I say, is it confusing now, being argumentative, or she's opposing people. So she's playing that character, and she deserves to be there. But this is my problem with Ninja. She already has a huge fan base in Nigeria before going to the show. Obviously, that fan base is going to push her to the end of the show, because she's the one that has a huge fan base. And that's why she's so confident. You see every week she's nominated. She's not even ashamed, not ashamed is the word now. She's not even shy about it. She tells you to your face, I'm staying here till day 99 and there's nothing you can do about it. And because she already has that huge fan base. Our fans are always going to vote for her. And it's nice she has loyal fans. It is nice she has fans that are going, but this is the problem with Ninja. If you play this game, if you are playing this game, do not put people that are so popular, it's not a level playing field for everybody at the start. She already has a huge fan base before coming to the game, and it's not a level playing ground for other people. That's what I feel. But I think she's playing an okay game, and she's playing a difficult game. But I see, I believe she can make top 6, top 5, but she might not win. That's one thing about it. What do you feel about Tatcha?
Tatcha Tiga. I feel like, with the way she was in the first 2-3 weeks, I felt she was very disgusting. I felt she was very annoying, because there were times where you just have to be simple and just be calm. But she has this pride and this arrogance, and basically, like what you said, because of her fan base, where she tell you, she'll say stuff. You can't, it's Big Brother Niger, you don't know what the fans are thinking, but for you to be in the house in the second week and be saying stuff like, I'm going to be here till the 99th day. You understand what I'm saying? She has over 400,000 followers on Instagram. So obviously she knew that a lot of people are going to be voting for her regardless.
Yeah.
So I felt she was annoying. There were times when, like the point, that example of the coin where they had to, everybody was donating 60%. Everyone, Marshall that had 20, gave his own 20. Everybody gave 60% of their coins. She said she's not going to give 60. She was going to give 50 and be 40. What was it? And that nothing anybody can do. You get some kind of issues. She had the quarrel with Mike, where she pushed Mike. She cost Mike. She had the quarrel with fraud. Just being overly difficult. I understand that, yes, quarrels are meant to happen and all, but there are some kind of things that she says. And she's not really contributing in the house. She was just, most of the time, she's always cooking or she's sleeping. And so she was always up for eviction. And I feel like if she did not have a huge fan base outside, if it was just the kind of character she was showing those early weeks, she would have been out of the game by now. You understand? If she was relatively unknown like every other person, because literally all the housemates, like there were only few that she connected with. Yeah, but I feel like the secret room with Sheyi and coming out, what the stuff Mike have told, I think he has kind of like changed again. She has become more open, more interesting. She's talking more. She's a little bit more
friendly.
Basically, it has changed her whole game. Yeah, this is something that people can see and people can relate with. And personally, I see her going far because of her fan base. And
the secret room twist that they did, I don't know, because me, I don't know how the line of the game, whether they prepare these things before the season starts, or these games and these twists. I don't know whether they prepared it before each week, they already have a planned twist, or before the season starts, or as the season is going, they are inputting twists that they want and everything. But this secret room twist, I don't know how you felt about it, because with them coming back to the house, I felt it was done well, it was implemented fairly well. How do you feel about the secret room and them coming back into the house and allowing people to listen, giving Tatcha and Sheyi privilege of listening to their fellow housemates and all those things? How do you feel about it?
I feel it's an unfair advantage. I felt it was an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Yet I felt And especially the part where they had to make them dress up and prepare and cook for if I was a housemate, I would be pissed off because
this is a girl that is always bragging
that she's going to be here till the last day, and then you go and wait. It's not just for me, that was nonsense. I don't know why you're saying you felt it was implemented well, but in a way, it has kind of it spices the game up because it cuts a lot of people's interest. And Shea has always been himself, but Tasha has come out as a changed, a totally different human being. So maybe mission accomplished.
So, for Mercy, let's talk about Mercy. I think Mercy, I think she's playing a good game in the sense that there are some ways she interprets the game and she reads the game, which and the way there are some reads that she gives in the game that I'm always impressed by, because it's hard. Some of these viewers, like some of these house guests, example, someone like Tachana, she's just hoping her fans to keep her running throughout the game. But Mercy is a bit more analytical. She analyzes things that happen in the game and she has a very good read of what people that are threatening, people that are playing a low game. She has a very good analytical read. But there was something.
Exactly. I've been seeing a lot of your hyping of her on Twitter.
Now, I'm just surprised because the way she reads the game is the way a BBS player
would. That's what you said.
Exactly. It's the way she reads the game is the way a BBS player would read the game. And I think that's why, I was surprised and that was why I was impressed by her. But there was something she did yesterday which I felt was stupid. She broke the phone. She broke one of the sponsored phones from Oppo. She smashed the phone and broke it. And I felt this problem was on her because I don't feel Gedoni is at fault for anything. And I think deep down she knows because later she started getting scared that she'll get disqualified or she'll get striked out. But deep down she knows that she's at fault for that situation, but she's trying to make sure she brings Gedoni into equation. So even if she served the punishment or even if she gets disqualified, she's dragging Gedoni along with her. She was at fault for taking the phone from Gedoni's hand and smashing it. I felt she was a bit drunk, not even a bit drunk. She was drunk. She was angry. Then that was just the most stupid thing to do by taking it. I mean, it's not your phone. It's a sponsored, and it's a sponsor's phone. She's not supposed to take the phone and smash it. And I feel nothing might be done with her because obviously last week, Tata pushed Mike, and I don't think Big Brother did anything about it. I didn't hear Big Brother did anything about that Tata's case when she pushed Mike away. So if they do something for Mercy, then I think it's going to be double standard. They should just let it go, let it slide. But I felt that was one area in Mercy. Yeah, I feel that as well. One area in Mercy's game that she needs to watch. She can't just be getting angry for the sake of getting angry. She can't just be playing emotionally for the sake of playing emotionally. She has a good read of the game. Then she also needs to try to watch her emotions. If not, she'll be in bigger trouble because they are playing two more months from now. People are going to see that she can get angry easily when she gets drunk and she can do very stupid things. And one small thing someone will do gets her provoked and she might be disqualified. For all the good work she has done socially, she's not. She needs to she needs to tend to her anger, maybe bring it down a bit.
Yeah, I think at most she will get a strike. I think a strike will be fair. I don't see her getting disqualified because she's one of the reasons they watch the game. Along with Ike is causing a lot of Ike on social media. So I don't see them disqualifying. Plus, in a way, the smashing of the phone has also led to a lot of people to know about the Oppo phone. Because I don't feel a lot of people knew about that they were one of the sponsors for the phone. So, you know what they say about publicity, that no publicity is bad for
it's bad, yes.
So probably at the end of the day, they'll give her a strike. But the phone is a nice phone, though. I've seen the specs and everything. It's a brilliant phone. But like you said, she needs to calm. There's a thing with alcohol. I don't understand why people, personally, I don't take alcohol.
But
when I see some of the things people do when they drink, I'm like, is it that bad? Is it so serious? I don't understand.
Yeah,
because it looks like every week after the party, there's always a fight.
There's always, always yes.
Because of, because of the small
alcohol. Yeah.
And I'm like,
I guess I got surprised because on the first week, that was when I knew about this party happens every week, every weekend, and I saw Big
Eight. Is it like that in
Greenville, no, America? No, it's not. They don't even, what concerns them with party. They don't even do anything like party. Yeah, was, but the thing is, what got me shocked was that I saw the Biggie said he advises them to drink responsibly. He advises people to drink responsibly, but you put like 300 crates of beer, 700 bottles of whiskey, 700 bottles of red wine beside them, and you expect them to drink responsibly. There's no way they're going to ever drink responsibly. And that is the cause, that is why they put that party on a Saturday. They want drama to happen. Without that party, there's never going to be drama that spills over to the next week. You get.
Are you serious? So it's a strategy to cause them to, because I think there was a diary session where Big Brother was asking them what they feel he can do to make the house better. And I think a lot of them were suggesting that they should bring in more alcohol.
You can imagine.
To allow them losing up. I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Before Toyo got disqualified. So it was like they should bring in more alcohol to allow them losing up. I think Ike said it. Mike said it. I think Shay said he was not going to say alcohol. I think some other people of them said they should bring in more alcohol.
So that's the point. Once they drink, there's any drama happens. They were trying to avoid drama this weekend, and Messi did something very stupid. Obviously, next week there's going to be another party, and there's going to be plenty of alcohol. And no matter how they're trying to avoid it, something must happen that night. Something, either the fight or there's an emotional breakdown. We saw with last week between Fred and Esther, and the other week when they stole coins, or Marshall lost coin, and Marshall got very angry. So something must happen once they get drunk, because
last week with Tash, Messi and Ike.
Exactly.
When Messi was dancing with Toyo.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Messi, exactly. So, what do you think about Messi and Ike's relationship? I feel though, outside the house, I think they'll do very well, because they have this. I just hope it's not like, because I learned recently that it's not coupling up with somebody is a strategy in BB Nigeria, because everybody likes to see couples go for and everything. So coupling up is kind of a strategy.
It's a very big strategy,
which is weird, but I understand why it's a strategy. But I feel if Ike and Messi are not playing on each other's feelings, I think outside the house they'll do well, because they have this good cop bad cop relationship with both of them and going on between both of them. So I think outside the house they will do well.
I think we should be talking about if the relationship is genuine, right, or exactly, whether they're just using it as a strategy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel it's genuine. I feel the boy really likes her, and I'm sure she really likes him. So I'm sure they are not just using each other for strategy, because I think the last year there was Teddy A and Bam Bam that are still dating tonight, probably going to get married. So I feel like they could be genuine. And so far they are like one of the most interesting things about the old Big Brother.
Yeah,
just seeing them being together and all that.
I do hope so too, but it never can know, because Ike, every time he does a confessional, every time they ask him, he keeps also mentioning Tacha. I don't know whether that is, like they ask him who will be your favorite top five. He put himself, Messi, he put Sadi, I think he put Mike, and he put Tacha. And he said, because Tacha is very beautiful and it brings a lot of pepper to the house. So I don't know whether it's trying to appeal to Thatcher fans also. Because basically, I feel anytime he mentions Thatcher and he mentions Messi the same sentence, something is just wrong. So I feel he's trying to appeal to Thatcher fans.
Why is something wrong? Listen, I'm sure he knows. No, I'm sure he knows. He knows that Tasha has a huge fan base.
Yes, so
he respects her.
Yeah.
If you've been watching, so he's trying to, like, he does not want to become an enemy with her, but he's trying to, like, be a friend. And he's that guy is also very smart too. So
he's very, very smart.
Tactical.
He's very smart. Yeah. Let's talk about Cardoni. That's Gedoni and Kaffi. That's one relationship that I've been, I don't know whether to say intrigued by, but they've been, I think they had a smoother relationship in the house now. I think the relationship started before that eviction scare. It started a night before the eviction scare. They had a long talk for, I think, over 3 hours or so. When people were sleeping, they were just, I think that's when they started forming this bond with each other. And obviously after the eviction scare, that the man or they escaped from, they became close. And now they are obviously close, kissing, having sex, blah, blah, blah. And all those BS.
Are they having sex?
They're having sex. They've had sex like twice or thrice or something.
Are you sure, Tega? This is not just rumor.
That's not rumor. That's true. When they cover the blanket, the duvet, or whatever, and you see two movements in transactional direction.
It does not always mean sex. I'm not sure.
Check it after the podcast. I think they've been having sex. So, but I think that's one very genuine, nice relationship for both of them.
It's not, a lot of people are saying it's not genuine that the boy is playing her, that the boy is playing Kaffi.
I don't think
that. There are rumors. Okay, listen, there are rumors now that himself and what was her name?
Kim Oprah. Oprah. Yeah,
he's dating.
It's actually true. Oprah actually even said it. She said it in an interview with Pulse. Yeah, they dated.
Yeah, and then the day she was leaving, he was sad. And I think after when Kim Oprah was interviewed, she assessed to us like if she was up for eviction and Kaffi was up for eviction, that Gidoni will save her. So I feel like there are people saying that it was their strategy to be, because if you saw them in the house, you would not even know that anything happened between them. They look like complete strangers. So I felt it was part of their strategy to be. And she gave him a coin. Did you know that she gave him a coin?
I did not know that. I'm not surprised.
Before the first time, before to add up to his own, though it was not enough at the end of the day. A lot of people are saying the girl, she's been too needy. She's been too gumbody. She's a free spirit. I like Kaffi. I like her. She's interesting. I love her diary sessions. Even though people say she talks a lot, I enjoy it.
She's someone that likes talking and she says her emotions. So I also enjoy her diary sessions too.
I enjoy her diary session. I enjoy her martial arts. I think her martial arts is the best. I enjoy hers too. Mm-hmm. But people are saying the Gidoni is not really, it's not being honest. It's kind of explaining her, and that after the house, exactly. I think yesterday when they asked them to call their top five, he didn't call her.
That's
a very big question mark. Why will you call your top five and you won't call? So we just have to keep our fingers crossed, guy.
Some housemates we've not really talked much about, Diane and Jackie. Obviously for me, I feel one person that's playing a very good game in the house at the moment is Jackie, because she's friends with everybody likes her. The two people that I think are playing very good games is Omashola and Jackie. Jackie being said, everybody likes Jackie. She's friendly with everybody. She talks to everybody. She hasn't fought with, I think, anybody except from her disagreement with Tacha. She called Tacha a witch. I think both of that relationship has gone bad. But apart from that, everybody likes her. Nobody's mentioning her name for nominations. And she's laying low. She's like being quiet. She needs to, because she's quiet.
And she has won 1.2 million in the Pepsi challenge.
Exactly. And the fact that she has already won 1.2 million and nobody's actually seeing her as a threat is a problem. For people not to see her as a threat, that means she's doing
something. In previous years, once you win something, they start nominating you to go out. That was what happened with the last people that I think Leo and Ifunada last year. Or the year, 2 years ago, that so I don't know why they are not still, but I feel like any week she comes up for eviction, she will leave. I feel like any week she comes up for eviction, she will leave.
Marshall is playing a good game. It's only loud, but his loudness is fun and everybody likes to be around him, man. So I don't see Marshall even. I feel Marshall is definitely top five. Tacha is most likely top five. And who else will I pick? Now that we are into predictions, I'll pick Messi, if she doesn't get disqualified, which I don't think she will get disqualified. Messi, Omashola, Tacha. So I have two more spots. I'll give one spot to Mike. Definitely, I see Mike in the top five.
Mike is brilliant, man. He's very brilliant.
And I'll pick who makes the last five. I think Ike will most likely enter. So that's...
Are you serious? That's my exact top five too. Exact top five. But there's the issue.
Shay might sneak in.
But those are my top five. I think those are going to be the top five.
And Shay might sneak in.
Thomas Shola winning, of course.
Since we're into predictions now, everybody is up for eviction this week. Who do you think? How many people do you think is going this week, and who do you think will go?
How many people going today? Which one is this week? Today is today. I think I think one person will leave, and I think it will be Jeff.
Okay. I also agree with you. I think one person will most likely leave. And I think the person who will most likely leave might be Nelson, being the fact that he's from there's this I think Nelson and Thatcher are from PH, and most PH people are in love with Thatcher already. So in fact, actually, that's even a Monica Portaco's first daughter or something like that. So I feel Nelson might be in trouble this week. And if I'm going to pick another person, it's a hard one. I don't know who else I might pick. But if Jackie escapes, because Jackie's a bit quiet and this is a voting popularity contest game. If Jackie escaped this week and they did not do this twist of everybody's getting everybody's off eviction. If Jackie escaped this week, I think she might go far also. So those are she might go as far as top 7, top 8.
Okay. Fingers crossed. Kaffee will be near the top 5 too.
So that's all we have for the first month of BB Ninja for the first month recap of BB Ninja. This season has been fun. I've been enjoying it. I'm not a usual watcher of BB Ninja, but so far so good. I've been enjoying it. It has been fun. There are some things I would like them to implement or they could change, but well, I'm not the showrunner. I'm not part of the production team. I think for the fan base, where it's been done, I think they've killed it. And Edmund, thanks for joining me on BB Ninja podcast. Hope we get to see. Hope our favorites do not get evicted. Hopefully, and you want Omoshola to win. I'm also rooting for Omoshola, but unfortunately, I will not be voting. I won't spend my money voting because BB Ninja has the money. They have the money to
take. Obviously, take. I can't spend. I've never voted. Okay, I actually voted last week.
Who did you vote for?
It was through
the
listen.
Okay, through the app. Okay,
through the GoTV app, you have 100 votes there. I gave 50 to Mike. I gave 30 to Toyo, and I gave 20 to Shay. That week. So I didn't vote this week though.
Someone has to go, and this is the method. I do hope Omoshola makes it to the end. I think it's been fun. Mercy has been playing a good game. I hope she makes it to the end. So Tacha has a huge fan base. So whoever can push whoever out with their fan base will obviously win the season. So good luck to them. And once major things happen again throughout the season, we'll be back on the podcast to discuss them. Edmund, thanks for joining me once again. And follow Edmund on Twitter at Edmund Oris. He doesn't follow the View Center podcast at View Center Pod. And you can follow me on Twitter at #Tega. #Tega. Edmund, take care of yourself. Enjoy the week and be safe.
Thank you so much.
Make sure you use they've been saying condoms are missing in the BB Ninja house. Make sure you use condoms. they said Gedonia Kaffee are taking away all the condoms in the house. So
are you serious?
It was just a joke that happened last week. So remember to use protection. All right, guys.
I don't understand what you mean. Virgin.
All right, guys.